You guys remember Denver the Last Dinosaur?
I don't.
Denver the Last Dinosaur. He's my friend and a whole lot more. Denver the Last Dinosaur. I don't know the worst of them anymore. Huh!
Welcome to episode 38 for Rated NA, the podcast for nerdappropriate.com.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Top of the morning to you, laddies.
Wow, Ash is on another another level today. I don't know what.
Dude, I am so tired this week. It has been a horrible week. But how are you guys doing?
Not too bad.
I'm doing all right.
Good. I'm glad you guys are doing well. Well, shit.
Actually had a pretty relaxing week, you know, went out of town.
Yeah, how was your adventure? You went to some place that, like, they talk about in the movies that I didn't think was a real place.
Rochester?
Yeah.
Dawson's Creek.
That is a place.
It's Dawson's Creek?
Yeah, is it? I don't know.
Did you ride around in a little boat?
Nope. With
loose women?
I did not do that.
Was there a woman named...
With crooked mouths?
Was there a woman named Gams?
No, I don't think there was.
Who taught you about the universe? Did you sleep with one of your teachers?
No.
Oh,
no.
It's set in Cape Side, Massachusetts.
Oh.
I drank some good beer, though. We went to a...
Yeah, you Facebooked about drinking like 7 times. I was going to write you and be like, is this all you ever do on vacation?
I thought that was the appropriate thing to do. We went on like a little wine tasting.
Oh.
It's cool.
Wound, like one of the...
Did you wear pastels?
No.
Okay, good.
No, he wore Tommy Bahama.
Oh.
Exactly. But one of the places was a brewery.
That's a hard word to say.
It is.
I don't even attempt that word.
Brewery?
Brewery. Brewery. See? Doesn't work when I say it.
It seemed too good to be true. All the tastings cost $2 and you got...
Damn. That's cool.
Yeah, it's really cheap.
There's a thing going on today at Orlando called the OB3.
Where is that?
Next to your house.
Oh.
And it's... Orlando bikes, beer, and bourbon. And you pay $40 and there's a ton of restaurants for food.
Down in the neighborhood down there,
free
right?
Bourbon, yep. And free beer.
Cool.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah. I was like, that's different for us, for our little town.
Yeah. It's marked as the worst city in the United States to have a bike.
Yep.
Yeah.
most dangerous
city.
That's why we're celebrating it.
Yeah. You know, get on your bike, you'll fucking die.
It's the third most dangerous to drive in, the first most dangerous to walk or ride your bike in.
Yeah, we kill people here.
Yeah,
so road we got a lot of stuff going on today on episode 38. We have the Star Wars: The Old Republic, the big announcement everyone has been waiting for. Yes, it is finally coming out, and yes, it's coming out this year. So that's pretty cool.
That's almost it's almost breaking news as we record this.
It is. It happened.
Speaking of breaking things, we broke the speed of light.
We're
going to talk briefly about that.
Not us specifically, but
no, I did. And then Netflix broke up.
So sad.
And then Facebook and Google opened up with a bunch of new stuff. And then we've got reviews for Hobo with a Shotgun.
Yes.
The Cogs in Gears of War 3.
Also with shotguns.
New Girl.
Not with a shotgun.
Oh, I thought she did. Yeah. And then The 52 continues this week. We've got 2 more weeks of The 52, this one, and one more. And then we've got an open thread about ratings.
Cool.
Fantastic.
We didn't actually tweet a question out this week. We were behind, but...
Yeah.
But it's good, because we're going to do... We've got a big talk we're going to have.
Yes.
Just the three of us.
Good.
Just the three of us.
Quality time. Whoa. Little quality
time. This is a singy episode. Is this the musical episode?
This is. We'll know if we just break out into weird songs for no reason whatsoever.
Instantly, all the hatred would start coming. Get all sorts of emails.
So,
how do you sing?
So have you been up to anything, Ash, other than what you're reviewing in a few minutes, or no?
Honestly, work obliterated me. I went to that midnight sale for Gears, and then after that, the rest of my week was like living in a zombie fog. I realized that it's hard for me to function after getting no sleep for a couple days in a row. So I pretty much would come home from work and black out.
Yeah.
And it was not very fun. But other than that, this week has been pretty humdrum. I guess I'll talk all about the crazy midnight sale. The crazy midnight sale.
Was he there? Was Cliffy B there?
Cliffy B was there in spirit.
Or was it just a cardboard cutout of him?
It was.
With his diamond studs.
GameStop in the city.
And his Lamborghini and his blonde, lovely lady. So we'll talk about that stuff, I guess, when we talk about Gears. Right. But week has been pretty boring. Sorry, guys.
It's all right.
Womp womp. How'd it go? What happened last week? I was gone.
I watched a lot of TV this week.
Sweet. That's
pretty much all I did.
That's exciting.
Played a little bit of Deus Ex, which, by the way, Melissa told me this week that every time we have said Deus Ex, she thinks we're saying Day of Sex.
Oh.
That's why
so she's been thinking we've been saying Day of Sex for about a month now.
Yes.
Have you been playing Day of Sex? And she didn't ever question what we were doing in here talking about that.
Day of Sex.
Just three dudes talking about Day of Sex.
Because I said something, she was like, what? And I'm like, Deus Ex. And she was like, say that again? I'm like, Deus Ex. And she's like, oh my God, I thought you've been saying Day of Sex this whole time. And I was like, what?
Oh boy, oh boy, oh.
Best con ever.
Yeah. Oh boy. I don't know what to say about that one.
But, I mean, other than that, yeah, TV. I beat the first boss in Deus Ex, which was fun.
He's a jerk.
Good old boss fights.
Good old Barrett.
Weird boss fights in a game that doesn't need them.
Yes, indeed.
All right, well, let's go ahead and break into it. We all woke up to an email this morning from our friends in BioWare.
Yes.
And it said, the day is finally here.
Yes.
And that day is 3 months from now.
I thought it was a prank.
Like a joke.
I was hoping I was getting my beta key, and that's not what it was at all.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
yeah, it's announced the big day is December the 20th of this year, right in time for Christmas to maximize sales, because that is what...
Well, we were talking about that, though. I mean, that's right before Christmas. That's not, like, you know, super early.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird, isn't
it? What better way to spend your two-week holiday vacation than with
SWTOR?
Yeah. Just looking at Twitter this morning, there's so much of that. Like, I need to reschedule what I'm doing for Christmas and, like, not see my family because this game is coming out.
Man.
I'm not going to be too different with that. I think I'm going to probably spend a lot of time, hopefully with you gentlemen, playing this game right around Christmas.
Probably.
We can align our guild with other guilds now.
I saw that. That's pretty cool.
Very
interesting.
I can't
wait to get that started. But
So along with the announcement, they also talked pricing.
Yeah.
Nothing surprising.
No. I think this is pretty...
Looks like it's right about what WoW was doing.
You guys going to do the 6 months and just...
If anything, that's the most surprising part is that there's a discount for a longer subscription.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so 6 months is only $12.99 per month, whereas the 1 month subscription is $14.99 per month. And there's also pre-order stuff. There's a collector's edition, which
is $150. Did you guys both do the collector's edition, or which one?
I did the collector's edition, because I
did as well.
If I didn't, I'd be pissed. And BioWare is pretty good about their collector's editions. They have some pretty sweet stuff in there.
I'm going to do the collector's edition, but I had Amazon credit. Mm. And it weirdly credited it back to me, Scott. I don't know if you remember this, but when I pre-ordered it, it actually used all of my Amazon credit to pre-order the game.
Right.
Like it spent it. And I was like, that's not how pre-orders work. That shouldn't be happening.
Yeah.
And then a month later, it credited it back to my account.
Yeah, you can apply it to it. I don't know.
Yeah, but like it just did it. It just was like, oh, this game's $150. You have $180 in credit. Now you have $30. What the fuck? Like, put that back.
Do you remember when I was out in San Diego, it was the day that they announced, like, you can pre-order and then you get early access.
Yeah,
remember
that? Yeah.
And I pre-ordered and it charged me for the whole entire pre-order, like the whole 150. Yeah. Like,
it was
right
really
off
weird.
The bat.
It charged you right away.
I haven't tracked it.
But it actually
closely.
I don't know if it gave you money back. Mine got put back into my account.
Now
it just says like pending. Like it just sits in my holding queue. But anyways.
So there's a lot of, just really quick on this news bit, there's a lot of people that are hating on this game that haven't actually played it. And there's a lot of really negativity. I mean, just like I was browsing through Kotaku a few minutes ago, and the first few comments are like, this game is going to suck.
Yeah, I don't really get it.
Yeah, why is everyone jumping on board this sinking ship? And da-da-da-da. And I'm just like...
That sounds like trolling.
It is. And there's so much fucking venom on the internet. It baffles me that people just don't want to see something do well that literally hundreds and hundreds of people worked on, you know?
Maybe just to see the issue from the other side, the only thing I can imagine that somebody would be mad about is the fact that they wanted like a KOTOR 3.
Yeah.
And they're not getting it because they're getting this.
A proper sequel. Well, I mean, you know, it does have some of the the traditional trappings of an MMO. There's grinding, mm-hmm. there's like, you know, fetch quests, things like that, but they're done pretty damn well. They're voice acted, they're, you know, and having spent a solid amount of time messing around with the beta, I can say that the game is not going to suck. So
yeah. So, well, I mean, even the tiny little bit I played, it was fun as hell. I don't understand the hatred pre-release.
Yeah.
It just makes no
absolutely.
Sense.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, graphically, not the most mind-blowing thing on the planet, but I mean, it kind of bugs me when I see so much, just a lot of negativity.
I think anytime there's something that is extremely popular, people are going to hate on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, whatever, either you're gonna play it or you're not, and probably those people that are complaining are gonna play it too.
Here's a question for you guys. Have you guys ever gone on a thread for any web page and just said something bad?
Nope.
I don't get on forums, so, or comment
I don't I mean often. I've said positive stuff. I don't think I've ever gone on there and said something negative.
I think there was a time when, you know, back when I was like really upset about the differences between Mass Effect 1 and 2.
Oh, that you thought about it?
No, I did. I went on to the forums though, but I didn't just write like, ah, oh, this game sucks, meh. You know,
yeah.
I actually constructed, you know, a couple of paragraphs about what I liked about the first one and why I wanted those things in the second one.
Yeah.
And then I actually got some constructive responses and nobody like flipped their shit, you know?
Normally, and that's why maybe this is kind of what, but bothers me so much, the folks on the BioWare forums mm-hmm. are generally really intelligent fans. They're very, very, very articulate, and they're very well spoken, and most of their arguments are legitimate. Like, if you ever go on a World of Warcraft forum,
no,
holy shit. When I was running my World of Warcraft guild, it was like...
It's like YouTube comments.
Yeah, it was like a verbal gang war every freaking day. Like, you know, it was horrible. It was a horrible place to be, so...
Well, the mindset that I had was that if I construct these comments thoughtfully, maybe somebody from BioWare will read them and take my comments into consideration instead of just saying something douchey.
And I think BioWare is pretty good at about actually reading stuff, so that's a pretty good observation.
Yeah.
So you guys are both getting it launch day.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Midnight sale? Come on.
It's Amazon. I get it immediately.
It'll just show up in the...
fuck.
Yeah, but if there's early access, do they send it to me early or do I get to download the client early?
They'll probably download
the client. Well, then there you go.
Because if you pre-order the collectors or the digital deluxe, you get... It's all like download.
Yeah, so they'll just send a key and then we'll get the box like later.
Yeah.
We'll be there.
Sweet.
We just won't have to stand in line with you.
That's true. You'll probably be able to get in before me then.
It'll be fine.
I'll be at home at 12:10 a.m. and you will already be on.
I'm already at level 5.
Damn it. It's going to be a race. Good thing we're on the East Coast because it's going to be a race to get good names. You don't want to end up with like Slapjack 77.
I haven't even thought about what my name is
going to be. This is what you do. You write down all the names that you want and then you grab all of them. You make characters with all those names and you hold them all. And then you do it on every server. So that way you always have your fucking names. Because you don't want to end up with a shitty name. MMOs are cutthroat, man.
But I mean, with Star Wars names, I mean, can't you just garble up like
you could
15 letters and have a name?
But there's still some... there's still some good names. And there's still some...
Yeah, I'm not going to name my guy like Admiral Akbar or It's a Trap. Or
you're not going to name him Admiral Snack Bar?
Admiral Snack Bar?
No, I probably...
That's one of my favorites.
I wouldn't even do that. I doubt it.
You'd be serious?
Yeah.
You're going to have serious names? Well, that's cool. So tell me about this speed of light stuff. I haven't heard about this.
I thought this was, you know, we're not science geeks necessarily, but I thought this was pretty ridiculous news.
What, we're not like the Big Bang Theory?
We'll get there.
Moving on.
But CERN, which is the European Organization for Nuclear Research, is called CERN, because I think it's French, something to do with France.
CERN?
Turns it into that. Has been apparently... running this test where they're like pumping neutrinos through some kind of tube. I'm going to go with that.
Is this where the particle thing is?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Apparently, since they couldn't recreate the Big Bang, they did this, and these neutrinos that they've been pumping through this area arrived 60 nanoseconds faster than light would. So they actually went faster than the speed of light to get to their end destination.
That is awesome.
And
what is it?
The biggest deal about this
ripped a hole in the whole fucking universe.
I mean, well, everything CERN has been doing could rip a hole in the whole fucking universe. The big deal about this is that this is basically one of the tenets of science that Einstein basically created, and said that this will never be broken. Nothing can go faster than the speed of light,
unless it's a mass relay.
Uh-oh.
Well, that's the funny thing is, like, you know, I go to Reddit and I go to some of these sites a lot, and like the instant meme that started up was like, "We're so close" is all they kept writing, and they would just put "we're so close" over top of like something.
Oh.
And it was either the Mass Effect relay, or it was like the room in Black Mesa, like the room where you get transported to the other dimension. Yeah. It was like every video game thing that we've ever done. It was like, "We're so close."
Did you?
God,
I think there was an article in either this month or last month's Wired. Like, there's usually like an angry nerd column, and he got the guy like rags on something in a movie that doesn't make any sense from a nerd perspective.
Yeah.
The article for that issue was how the Empire's intergalactic like trade and like business was like not feasible because of, you know, speed of light travel and how long it would take to actually shuttle supplies back and forth between, you know, planets or something like that. It's like totally not feasible or not practical from a business standpoint.
Yeah.
So the bad thing about all that science stuff is don't all those games end horribly with like head crabs and shit killing us?
Of course.
We don't want head crabs.
To be technical, I'm looking at the Reuters article right now. It says a total of 15,000 beams of neutrinos, tiny particles that pervade the cosmos, were fired over a period of 3 years from CERN toward Gran Sasso, 730 kilometers or 500 miles away, where they were picked up by giant detectors. Light would have covered the distance in around 2.4 thousandths of a second, but the neutrinos took 60 nanoseconds or 60 billionths of a second less than light beams would have taken.
Whoa.
That's about a photo finish.
What?
That was off the top of the head.
This is a good one.
So anyways, I don't know. I just thought it was cool little science news. We never talk about science.
And it kind of does tie into video games
weird,
and nerd stuff.
Ties into video games. So next thing we know, we'll be time traveling.
Awesome.
That is awesome.
I assume, right?
Awesome.
I don't know how science works.
I would travel to March 6th, so Mass Effect 3 would be out already.
So, speaking of breaking up, that's the only transition I have for the day.
No, that was a good one.
Thanks.
Like that.
That was good.
Netflix got the way I wrote it, and the way I think I wrote it in the article too that I wrote was Netflix. We made Netflix sad, and they broke up.
Yes.
I don't understand why they're getting sad.
Did you read the email? The email was like, "We're really sorry, guys. We're really sorry we raised your price $4.
Yeah.
And I was like, "Oh, God." But so Netflix has broken off their DVD mailing part, and it's now called Quickster. Quickster.
Not Quickstar?
No.
Quickstar.
That's a rapper.
Oh, sorry.
Quickster. And then their streaming is now just going to be known as Netflix.
Which kind of, from a naming perspective, like Netflix kind of makes sense.
Well, but you used to go on the internet and get your movies mailed to you.
Mm.
Yeah, I understand their logic for both, though.
They could call it Mailflix.
Well, I mean, I think the reality...
That's something totally different.
I think the reality of this is that they are... I think they're sending DVDs out to pasture. I think they're
oh, yeah.
They're splitting this off so that in 2 years when they shut it down entirely, no one's going to freak out that Netflix is closing. Now they're just going to be like, oh, Quickster's closing.
Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. I think...
I think they're heading the branding nightmare off.
As sad as it is... Excuse me. As sad as it is, I think that the day of physical media is within a decade going to be gone. You know, as long as bandwidth it continues to increase and, you know, and HD streaming formats are going to be very reliable, I think, why not? You know, and I think that's exactly what Netflix is doing. I think they realize that the day is coming soon. And, you know, they're just kind of covering their ass.
My only fear with that, and I do agree that we'll get there, but my only fear with this is that, you know, with the possibility of bandwidth limiting and data caps.
I think that is knee-jerk by the providers. And I think long-term, I think what they're doing the capping and the where they choke it, essentially.
Yeah, throttling.
Throttling the speed. I think they're doing that in... like to prevent like the abuse that, like, basically I think what they're doing is saying like, look, we have options, You know what I mean? Like,
right.
We don't have to give you unlimited bandwidth, but if you want it, you know, like,
sure.
I think that at the end of the day, it's still going to be there. It's not like it's like they can't handle the traffic. It's just that they're going to need to figure it out. And I think they're trying to do it now so that they can be like, okay, well, you don't watch Netflix online and you know, you don't need 40 gigs of bandwidth every month. Not to cut you off. I think that's them. Not that they're good people. I'm just saying that I think they're trying to look into the future and go like, how do we stop this now so that it's not completely crazy?
Well, I mean, like, as you talk about this, I wonder if one day Verizon's going to be like, oh, we change our minds, you know,
no,
like free for everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hope so.
Who knows?
But
are either of you guys pissed about this? Because the internet is like freaking the fuck out. Like we stole their children and fed them to a fucking lion.
So like what I wrote on our site, I'm kind of like mad at the internet. No, I'm not mad at Netflix.
Yeah,
because what I wrote about, and I'll just again say very quickly here, is that if this were cable or your cell phone provider, they would have just raised the price. They wouldn't have sent out an email or told you about it or given you a 3-month warning.
Yeah.
They just would have been like, you know, like you get like a little pamphlet in the mail from Bright House or whoever, your Time Warner, Comcast or whatever, and they're just like, here's the price guide for this year, and you open it up and you have no idea if the price changed or what's different, you know.
Yeah, you know, it's the same as the article I wrote previously, which is just like this anger over something that is still extremely reasonably priced and is still like a really great service that people are using in mass.
I feel like it's like a sense
it's
of entitlement.
Really weird. Yeah, it is. It's entirely a sense of entitlement. Like, it's really odd to feel like, oh, well, this service that never existed 5 years ago, now you can't live without, and now you're mad that they raised the price $4. Like, and what really pisses me off about all of this, and it pissed me off when we talked about the them losing subscribers and their stock price drops.
Yeah.
Is everybody loves to talk about this in percentages, and they don't actually put real numbers to it, because it's like, they raised their prices 60%. And you're like, yeah, from $10 to $16, not not from $60 to $120. Like they didn't. It's not like some insane price raise they just did. It's $16 a month.
It was for a point like such a good deal. You kind of wondered like
how
this is too good of a deal to be true.
$10 a month to watch every movie you want online and get a DVD in the mail on top of that.
And it was like, come on, like really? Yeah. Like you want that forever?
That's $120 a year. That's what most people would pay for cable in 1 month.
Yeah, I actually felt guilty. I wanted to give Netflix more money.
Sure.
So good, I'll give you more money.
I also wonder if part, and the other thing they announced is that they're going to move into games somehow. They didn't really get very specific.
Okay.
They just kind of said that they're going to do some kind of gaming thing.
Hopefully they do a thing like OnLive.
Yeah, wink.
I think it's going to be more like Gamefly. But, and then the other thing that I think about this is that there's a lot of stuff going on with the U.S. Postal Office right now, too. And there are some major issues on that side of the fence. And I'm wondering if they're seeing that and they're combining that with losing some users and seeing streaming explode. And they're just like, we need to split these up before things go horribly wrong in one direction or another.
Because the Post Office has been talking about not doing Saturday delivery for a while now.
Yeah.
And so for a company like Netflix, if you expect a disc to show up on Saturday or, you know, you send it back on Friday and you don't see anything until like Tuesday of next week.
Which, by the way, that's another group that like people on the internet love to like flame right now. They're like, oh, fuck the Post Office. All I get is junk mail. And I'm like, I think you probably get a lot more than you think you get.
Wasn't
there
a stand-up comedian that did a bit about that where it's like, you can put a stamp
on
anything and it shows up anywhere in the world like like in the next day or two.
Somebody posted like online right after, it was like one of the comic writers I follow. He was like, yeah, I just went to the post office to ship something. He was like, UPS wanted to charge me $45 to send it like 300 miles across the country. The Postal Service is gonna do it for $5. I think I went with the Postal Service. And I was like, good Lord. Anyways, that's other news. But I think, I will see what happens. I think Netflix is just seeing the future more than anything
else. Stop apologizing, for real.
Yeah. Because that was just a weird email. I was like, I'm sorry, everybody.
Yeah.
I'm sorry we raised our prices at a reasonable rate and told you about it before we did it.
Like, if you're that mad, stop buying gas. You know, like, if you're mad about the price of something going, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. But that's the difference between entitlement and
cancel your cell phone contract. Cancel your cable.
So, The last little bit of news we have is Facebook made a bunch of changes this week that everybody, again, freaked out about on the internet.
I couldn't even really tell the difference.
Well, your news feed now, like the changes that happened right now is like your news feed is now only your news feed. So it's only like articles or pictures or something that somebody shares.
I noticed there's some shit on the right that's like super creepy. Like, right, it'll be like someone on your friends list commented on another friend. Right, yeah, and you're just like, oh,
so
cool.
Your main feed is just like, it's literally just news now. And then on the right side, there's your chat bar on the bottom half. And then the top half is like status updates of all your friends. So anything your friends do that they have shared. Because you can now go in and set public sharing too, as to what you want to share and what you don't.
Yeah.
So anything your friends do now shows up in that right bar of status updates. And then they also added the ability to subscribe to somebody, which is completely Google Plus ripped off, but that's fine. And basically it's, or Twitter. Yeah. Basically you can follow somebody else without them having to friend you back. You can just follow whatever they post publicly.
Oh, okay.
Do you think there's some confusion either on our end or on their end about what Facebook is supposed to be?
I think Facebook is...
Do they even know anymore? Like what it is?
They're just trying to be everything. I mean, they want to mess. They want to be your...
AOL? your portal to the internet?
Essentially, no. I mean, Prodigy. Seriously.
Do you remember Prodigy?
Their idea is that you're going to log in, you're going to go to Facebook, and you're going to see all the stuff. You're going to get integrated with all your friends and see what they're doing and you know, take part in that. But then also their new big push, which there was the conference they host is called Fate, F8. Mm-hmm. They just had that. It was this week. And they announced a bunch of new stuff. It's all developer stuff, so I won't bore you guys with the details. But the plan they kind of announced is that their idea is that your Scott Osaski will go to CNN and you'll be like, right when you show up, it's already on there, actually. CNN got like a preview access. Right when you show up to the site, on the right side, it'll say like, hey, here's what all your friends are doing on CNN, which has happened before. It's a social plugin.
Right.
But then when you like something on CNN, the problem was always that if you liked it on CNN, it basically hit your newsfeed and stayed on your newsfeed for as long as Ash or I might see it, depending on how many friends we have, and then was just gone. There was no other interaction with that after that. Well, now, if you go to CNN, you click, you like something, and then it relates it to something else. And then like, if you go to IMDb and you like a movie, it adds it to the movies that you like in your profile. Like it'll be like, oh, you like this movie.
Oh.
So here's that movie that you like. Yeah. And then because you like this movie, you might also like this movie. And did you know your friends are over at the theater right now checking? I mean, they basically want your internet experience to be condensed into Facebook.
Yeah, no thanks.
So wherever you are on the web, we'll have Facebook integrated into their site to make it more, I mean, I hate to tell you, it's going to happen because there's 550 million people on Facebook. So, you know, it's just kind of how it is. But we'll see. I don't know. It was some interesting news. I think Facebook is getting bloated, but I have for a while. But I'm also not the typical Facebook user, so I'm probably not the guy to ask.
I don't know that any of us are, really.
Yeah, I barely get on there.
You probably use it, honestly, more than Scott and I do. So.
Yeah, I check it in... use the chat sort of like a
do you
sort of like AIM. I use the chat and I see what's up, but
I play Dragon Age Legends.
I stopped putting status updates on there because like we talked about this with Google Plus. Like you put a status update up there and then like you may have some people like you knew in elementary school on your Facebook and like, you know, some family members and some coworkers, and then you just get some like snarky shitty comment that like ruins your day.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like,
for me,
well, no, but it's just like, what's the point of this? Like, I would love to tell people how I feel, but I don't necessarily want everyone's feedback on how I feel. So I just stopped telling people about how I feel.
Right.
So it's like, whatever.
They have introduced a bunch of new privacy features as far as now, like Google Plus, you can share it with specific people. And I haven't really looked into that too much. The other big thing that they announced is this thing called the timeline, which is coming soon. And basically, you can sign up for the preview at like facebook.com/timeline or something. And it's a timeline of your life since you've joined Facebook till now. You
Weird.
Can actually see everything that's ever happened
that's
that you've
creepy.
Shared with Facebook, and it puts it together. And it's interesting how they lay it out. It's kind of a cool visualization of what you've done, but it's weird too at the same time. And I think my issue with Facebook is the same thing it's always been, which is they just haven't built that trust with me for me to want to share everything with them.
There, yeah.
Yeah, I just kind of I'm like, I just don't, you know. I feel like, yeah, right now you're reacting to Google Plus, which is great. There's competition, so you're kind of introducing these privacy features and you're being a little more, you know, upfront about what you're doing. But at the same time, you're just doing it. There's still no announcement that anything's going to happen. There's no like, hey, we're pushing new changes to Facebook. Hey, there's a new Facebook outline or layout we're going to do. It's just like I sign in and all of a sudden everything's changed on Facebook and, you know, I have to deal with it. So The other thing that happened is Google Plus opened up. It is now public beta. No more invite required. You just have to have a Google account.
Cool.
You go sign up. It's yours. You're in. And then we actually talked a little bit before the podcast about they pushed a bunch of changes to their Hangouts, which are their video chats. They're available on mobile now, on the phone. You can do them on your phone. And it looks kind of cool. I actually like Google Plus still. You know, who knows if it's going to get bloated like Facebook, but they're doing some cool changes too. So check it out. If you don't have a Google Plus account yet, I still recommend going and trying it out and setting it. And now that you can get in for free or without an invite, you know, why not? Go check it out. So, yeah.
We'll be right back. You guys just heard Jimmy Henson. His band is Big Giant Circles, and the album is called Imposter Nostalgia, and he was actually one of the composers on Mass Effect 2, so definitely head over to biggiantcircles.com and check out Jimmy Henson's stuff. He's awesome, and we love chiptunes, so thank you, Jimmy, for letting us use this.
Yeah, I was really surprised. I like the sound of it, the chiptune stuff. It's
yes.
Cool. It's good to hear somebody like an Anna Monoguchi who's really good at music in general do something with chiptune and make it
absolutely
sound
cool. Absolutely. Yeah, he's got a lot of guest stars on that album as well from a lot of other video game composers and such. So
cool.
Definitely go check it out. Really, really cool stuff.
So about 2 weeks ago now, Ash and I were perusing Netflix and we watched a really horrible movie called Assault Girls.
Assault Girls, yeah, yeah.
It was just bad. And while we were bored with that, Ash was like, backed it out. And then we saw that Hobo with a Shotgun is available on Instant right now.
It is.
What is Hobo with a Shotgun?
Oh, man.
It is a hobo who has a shotgun.
Indeed.
And he takes revenge on a city that is run by like this nasty gang of like...
I don't even know. It's like a crime lord... in like an alternate dimension where a city would be able to be run by a really like low rent.
What's the Stanley Kubrick film that I'm blanking on it right now? Orange.
Clockwork Orange.
Clockwork Orange. It is the grindhouse version of a Clockwork Orange from the other perspective.
I can see that. I can definitely see that.
So okay. not from the bad guy's perspective. It's from a guy who is watching this city get run over by this like psychotic gang.
Okay.
Yes.
Within 5 minutes, literally the first 5 minutes of the movie, the opening of the movie is a guy running for his life with a manhole cover on his neck, around his neck. And he's like screaming and he's all bloody. And then the crime lord guy shows up. They drop him into
a manhole
so that his head's sticking out. They tie a rope to it and then they rip his head off.
Yeah. So it's that
and
kind
that's
of
his
movie.
Brother.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah. So this movie was directed by a guy by the name of Jason Eisner. And how he got to make this movie, he actually... there was a contest that was run by Robert Rodriguez when the Grindhouse movies came out. So Planet Terror and Death Proof. And the idea was make your own Grindhouse trailer. If it's good enough, we'll feature it in, you know, a bunch of theaters. And we'll put your trailer in with the other trailers. So the Rob Zombie trailer... and the Edgar Wright trailer. And this guy, Jason Eisner, he actually won. He won the contest, and so his trailer for Hobo with a Shotgun got featured with Grindhouse, and people loved it so much that they actually gave him money to make the full feature-length version of his trailer. And, dude, I loved it. Like, it was Matt, Derek, and I, all three of us watched it, and the girls were in the other room, like, I don't know, doing something. Who knows? But who knows what they do?
Vagina crafts.
I didn't say that.
Were they vajazzling?
For our female listeners.
That's a thing, right?
That was not Ash speaking. All right, so...
I think that's a thing.
It's a thing.
Vajazzling? Is that really a thing?
It actually is a thing.
I think it is a thing.
You put beads on your vagina? Is that what
that is? Not on mine. Like above it. Not on yours?
Not on me.
Not on your vagina.
Like above it. Like
really?
Yeah, yeah.
People do that.
It's real. This is a real thing. Yes.
Man, so is it like... So it's like a bedazzler, but for a vagina.
Yeah, yes. you've seen people's like iPhones with the covers on the back with the little fake diamonds, I think.
That's remarkable.
Yep.
I wonder what the purpose of that is. Because men aren't attracted to gems and baubles. We don't say, ooh, that's a really pretty gem you have there.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, maybe we'll never know.
We need to analyze the psychological reasoning behind vajazzling.
There you go.
Are you showing me vajazzling?
I just shared a website with you.
I knew Hobo with Shotgun would bring this out.
Called Vajazzle. Vajazzling.com.
It really is vajazzling.com.
This
is terrifying.
They actually have a section of it on The View. They talk about it on The View.
Barbara Walters.
It's a real thing, man. I wasn't messing with you.
It's going to become a nightmare.
Here's an American flag one. We're not looking at vaginas, by the way. These are just the beads they're showing us on this website.
It's pretty awesome. So back to Hobo with a Shotgun. So Matt, Derek, and I watched the movie. It's on Netflix Instant Watch right now. And it is one of the best movies I've seen this year, just because of its utter ridiculous tone and how incredibly violent and silly it was. But it was shot really well. That was the thing that really kind of blew my mind. Like, it was lit well, shot well. The action sequences were great. Rutger Hauer was awesome. The main lead female actress, Molly.
Brand new. She was
Molly
much
Dunsworth. I'm cheating on IMDb now, but she was great. She played like a stripper with a heart of gold kind of character. The movie kind of sets itself up to be possibly a trilogy or
or a sequel.
Or a sequel, at least. Because there are these characters that are introduced called what are they called? The Plagues?
The Plague.
Yeah, they're called the Plague, and they're these armored, like, death knights. Exactly. Scott's making a face.
No, it's cool, too.
Exactly. Yeah. They're armored from head to toe in, like, black armor, almost like medieval Gwar-esque kind of armor.
Yeah, Gwar armor. Like, it's like the homemade armor kind
of thing.
So this is no Birdemic, is what you're trying
to say. No.
It's pretty really badass. Good, yeah. And they drive around, and, like, they have, like...
Motorcycles.
So, like, heavy metal music in this movie?
Yeah, definitely.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's badass. And they, basically, they are responsible for all the great, like, world disasters. So they have, like, all these posters up of the people they've assassinated throughout history. So there's, like, Abraham Lincoln and, like, John F. Kennedy. And then they get tasked with killing the hobo. So the hobo is added to their hit list, and they're, like, the world's greatest, like, killers.
I think what... Because I love the movie too. The movie was awesome, and I don't know about favorite of the year, but it's really good. I mean, it's up there, but I don't know if it's my favorite of the year. But it's definitely high on the list.
You've seen some pretty good movies this year.
I think the thing for me is because I'm not generally a fan of this style of like lower budget movie. You know, like I mean, I am depending. Sometimes I love it. Sometimes I don't.
Yeah.
But it's not like an instant sell for me. Like, we went and saw Machete together, and we sound like we go on a lot of movie dates together, but whatever. We went to see Machete, and you liked it. I mean, you didn't think it was amazing, but you thought it was good. I hated it. I walked out. If I had not been with people, I would have walked out of the movie. I couldn't stand it. And I think part of it is just, like, I love Robert Rodriguez. I love the stuff he does, but I feel like when he does stuff like that, it comes off less as Robert Rodriguez doing a Grindhouse movie and more as, like a fake. It's not authentic to me. There's like no authenticity to a guy who makes multi-million dollar movies doing a Grindhouse movie. Like, you know, it'd be like, it's like when when the White Stripes record an album and it sounds like they did it on a four track, I'm like, no, you spent $30 million making that album and then made it sound like it's on a four track. Like,
so you're saying
it's just, there's no authenticity.
You kind of feel
it.
A little conviction, like a little like there's a little soul.
Like, I know
in
he's
this
doing
movie.
It. I know he's doing it because he loves that stuff, but it just doesn't sell to me. Whereas this movie was like,
that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, this movie was like just so awesome and like authentic, and like it just felt like this is a kid who's making this movie because this is what he does, and like and it was low budget, and the way it played looked low budget, but it played so well, like, and shot amazingly. He's got a fantastic eye.
Yeah, you know? I'm hoping that he goes on to do some great stuff, because it has a real raw energy to it that I really haven't seen in a lot of years. It really reminds me of like a young Rodriguez or even a young Tarantino.
Definitely.
Just tearing it up. Every shot just had a lot of really, you know, composed very well, lit very well. Really, really cool.
Yeah. Great movie, though. Definitely worth the check out. I don't know that it's still on Instant because they lost Stars.
It is right now.
It is still on Instant right
yeah,
now.
Stars isn't going away until next year.
Oh, I thought it was this September.
No, I think it's just early next year. Like,
oh, is it?
May,
okay.
March, September. May,
sweet.
I think.
So check it out. Hobo with a Shotgun. It is definitely worth your time. And even if it's not on Instant or you don't have Netflix, go rent it. I mean, the movie's awesome. It's really, really, really good. Definitely.
I'm into it. I will definitely follow his career.
So, Ash, you were going to talk a little bit about Gears. You haven't been able to play it as much as you want, I think.
Well, I still have played the shit out of it.
But let's hear it.
All right,
let's start with single player before we get into multiplayer.
Okay. Single player. Well, I went to the the midnight release here in town for Gears of War 3, and I like to do those for the games that I'm really into.
Now, I've never been to a midnight release. What happens at these events?
Oh, basically, it's like the Uber fans of whatever it is all gather in one place and kind of hang out and talk about the franchise or whatever, and sometimes there's contests. Sometimes you play the game a little bit early,
so you can get into the store early. Is it
like
go in? Like, you don't show up at midnight; you show up at like 11.
Yeah, like I showed up at like 9 for this one, and just hung out for like 3 hours. And there was like trivia, and there was a tournament, a Gears of War 2 tournament there, which I got my ass kicked. But so yeah, I mean they're fun. The store that I go to always has a really low turnout, so it's kind of nice. There's only like 30 of us there, so there, you know, it was really, really laid back and really fun. Single player campaign, once I got it home, I mean, you know, for me as a huge fan of the series, it's arguably like probably one of my top three franchises.
What edition did you get? Did you get the one with the statue?
I got the
wrong question. What edition didn't you get?
Yeah, that's okay. Probably the more correct question.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I got the one with the statue and with all the
nice
bells and whistles, and I got the life-size Retro Lancer, where there are only two shipped to our
what
store.
What is that? I don't even know what that is.
It's fucking 3.5 feet long.
It's a gun.
It's a NECA replica.
Was that is that an addition that you can get, or is that
no?
Separate?
It's just a separate.
Oh, the same dudes that do the Final Fantasy swords and stuff.
Yeah, they're like they actually take the model from the in-game model, and then they make a life-size replica of it.
Yeah.
I should have brought it with me and chased you guys around the house, but it's pretty awesome.
So you got the Lancer.
The retro.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the Retro Lancer, and then I got the big edition. But so yeah, I did manage to finish the campaign. The campaign clocks in. I played on the hardest difficulty setting. It took me probably about 13 hours in total to do. So it's the longest of any of them. And for a shooter, 13 hours of shooting is pretty damn long. The story moves very, very quickly. It's really, really well done. I wrote a little article about writing for shooters about a month ago now. And the thing that made me really happy about Gears 3 was that they hired Karen Travis, who's the one who writes all the Gears novels, to write the third game. And I've talked about her in the past, but she's a really, really solid writer, especially dealing with like the emotions of soldiers and the feelings of like war and things of that nature.
Because she's not a traditional game writer. She comes from another.
Yeah, she comes from like a heavy journalism background, and she's just really, she's good at capturing feelings and emotions in guys that are like in trenches and shit like that. So what this game did is it really built on that. So, you know, you guys may have stumbled across reviews in the past, and they even just mentioned it. We watched a clip of Conan O'Brien that was talking about this is like a more sensitive Gears of War. And it really is. Like, they dive into the histories of these characters. Like, for instance, like, we joke about Coltrane, like, he's this big stereotype. And for the most part, in the first two games, he really is. He's loud, you know, he's, like, kind of ridiculous, a giant cartoon character.
Yeah.
And in this, you get to see, you know, what's it like for Coltrane, who was basically the highest paid athletic star in the world, getting thrust into, you know, a global war, losing his parents, and then returning back home to the place and the people that idolized him, you know, all these years after the war is pretty much over. And he's just one example. So they do that with pretty much everybody. It's a much more personal game. The stakes are much higher. My only problem with the story is I'm lucky because I read all four of the novels. And I feel like if you didn't read the novels, it wouldn't have as much of an impact. Because there are characters and events that are heavily referenced in the third game that you would have no idea, because game two ends. Have you beaten it yet?
Yeah, we beat it.
Okay. So game two ends with the sinking of Jacinto. Okay. Yeah. So Jacinto gets sunk, you know, and you think the locusts are gone, and that's pretty much how it ends, right? And then the next game picks up, like, you know, years later. So it's there's a lot of stuff that takes place between the two games. It only takes place in the novels. But all in all, the campaign was a blast. It's 4-player co-op this time, which I haven't had an opportunity to do the co-op campaign yet. But I would imagine...
It's the same campaign, right?
It's the same campaign. So the whole time you play by yourself, you have three bots. The bot AI is brilliant this time. Cool. They'll pick you up when you're downed. They'll use grenades. They'll use cover. The characters that you bring with you all seem to have weapons that they prefer. So, for instance, like, when Anya's with you, she really likes to use, like, the sniper rifle. So she'll generally have a sniper rifle with her. And you can, like, swap weapons with friends on the fly this time.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's cool. Really cool. You can trade ammo and guns. All those sequences that we complained about, driving the tank on the ice, riding the Brumach, all those kind of things, they're kept to a bare minimum this time.
Cool.
And they never...
I don't think we complained about riding the Brumach.
That was kind of
that was
fun.
Like the... That was like your, hey, sorry for putting you through the rest of this.
Yeah, the Brumach was
kind of
fun.
We complained about
huh?
driving the buggy in the cave.
Yeah.
In the first game, remember the buggy with the light? The one
that was ridiculous. That the bats
was,
that flew
yes,
at you.
Yes, the fucking grill bats. That was horrible. But so there's very, very little of that this time, and that is great. Characters are all voiced incredibly well. Jennifer Hale makes a secret appearance. Got to bring that one up. Claudia Black, who did Morgan in Dragon Age Origins, she plays a character called Sam Byrne. She's in it. She's awesome.
Cool.
And, you know, I probably, in terms of action game campaigns, my favorite of all time, hands
awesome.
Down. Yeah.
Very cool. Yeah, I have heard somewhat through other reviews and things about the story feeling a little light. And maybe that is because they don't have... I mean, I would say even for 1 and 2,
mm-hmm.
It's just one of those games that I feel like... You know, we played and we were like, stuff would happen. We're just like, all right, cool. And we just kind of keep moving through.
Yeah.
Because there just wasn't that backstory or that kind of like... You know, like we always talk about it, but like in Mass Effect where you have that, every character you have some kind of weird emotional tie to.
Yes, absolutely.
And in Gears, it just kind of feels like... It's an amazing action game, and it's done beautifully. It just never had that weight to me.
Yeah, but I will say that even as casual fans, we had a blast playing the game, like, without really knowing, like, too much about what happens in the Gears universe.
Yeah.
I guess where I was heading, though, is that, like, I was hoping that this one would kind of do what Reach did for Halo to me, which was mm-hmm. give it this, like, kind of weight and, like, oh, this is it, you know, you're either going to love it or you're going to hate the whole series after this one.
And I feel like it does. I shouldn't say that you need to read the books in order to get the emotional attachment, because I mean, there's still events that are going to happen. And even if you have no idea what happened in the books at all, it's still going to mean a lot.
Yeah.
More so than the other games. But having, you know, backstory on all these characters, knowing everything about Cole, knowing literally everything about Baird and about the first time they met and all this kind of stuff, that is a big deal in context with the third game. So I definitely urge you guys listening that haven't picked up the books, it's not too late to go get them. Just download them, you know, download them from Amazon or buy them from Amazon and go ahead and give them a shot. They're a lot of fun.
Let me ask you, this is supposed to be like the end of the story. Do you think this is going to be the last game in the Gears of War universe?
I don't think so. It was the most pre-ordered game in Xbox history.
Sure.
So it is with Halo.
Think part of that was due to the beta access.
I think that's definitely, it was marketed, you know, very, very well.
Yeah.
And if, you know, you can't argue with Epic going above and beyond in terms of marketing and how to sell their stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had students of mine that have been like, I'm not a fan of Gears of War, but all this stuff I'm seeing makes me really want to get it. And it's like, oh,
right.
they got you, you know, they got you. But, you know, it's sold over, pre-sold over 1.3 million copies, which is a lot, and considering the game's over $60 new. So, I mean, is it the end of the franchise? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
It may be the end of Delta Squad, you know, the guys that we've kind of all grown to love. But I don't think it's the end of the Gears universe by any means. It's too big.
Okay.
Do you, totally blanked, gone.
Oh, it's cool.
Go ahead.
Multiplayer stuff?
Yeah, that's what I was going
to ask. That's not where I was headed.
Oh, okay.
I'll come back to it.
Okay, cool. So multiplayer, you know, there's all the standard modes for Versus are back. Basically, there's like a King of the Hill, Capture the Leader, which is like Capture the Flag, but the leader is actually a player. So you actually get the leader in a headlock and carry him around, which is kind of cool.
That's cool.
And, you know, it's all very, very balanced. There's dedicated servers now, so it's virtually lag-free. Matches are very, very quick, really, really fun. Tons of unlockables all the way up from level 1 to 100. So different characters to unlock, different weapon skins, different badges, different titles.
What is the level of competition like?
You know, people are already pretty good.
Yeah.
But it's never to the point where you're like, oh, this isn't fun. You know what I mean? Like you find a weapon that you're good with and you learn to use that weapon and stick with it, and then you'll be competition worthy. I mean, like the sawed-off shotgun, like a monkey could use it well. Like all you have to do is get close and pull the trigger and someone will die instantly.
Right.
I mean, so like you want to get good with that, just practice hiding around corners and popping out and shooting somebody with that. So Versus, really, really fun. Horde 2.0 is kind of what I want to spend more than a minute on.
Okay, tell us about it.
So we played Horde mode together
a
couple years ago at this
point.
Quite
a bit.
Yeah, and enjoyed the heck out of it. It is infinitely more fun than that. Like, it is so much fun that, like, I was playing matches by myself just to see how far I could get.
So what did they change in this new Horde mode?
Well, okay, so first of all, there's these things called mutators that you can unlock that add like bells and whistles to the game. Some of them are like ridiculous. Like you can add a laugh track when like something really crazy happens. So like you'll blow someone's head off and like a laugh track will go off.
Oh, that sounds great.
That's a bad one. Okay. You could add.
No,
like,
I'm serious. That actually,
funny.
Yeah. It actually does sound kind of funny.
Like other ones I've unlocked are chicken with the head cut off mode. So if you get a headshot, the locust, instead of dying, will run around like a chicken with its head cut off and fire aimlessly at everything around
it. So you still have to shoot them more, kill them?
No, they'll shoot just everything.
Just
and
damage.
And finally they collapse and they die.
Just collateral
basically
damage.
Basically, there's like 20 or 30 of these mutators you can add to any of your matches, and you can mix and match them. And they'll alter your experience. So ones you can add will actually make the game harder. You can put on like friendly fire.
Okay.
So, you know, you can grenade each other and shit like that, which makes the game a lot harder.
Right.
Which will give you more experience. And then, of course, you can add ones that just make the game fun, like pinata mode. When you kill a guy, just random items drop out of them, which is pretty cool. But Horde 2.0, the reason it's so much better is they added a money system to the game. So as you kill opponents, you get cash for the amount, for basically what you do. So if you do an execution, you'll get like an extra $60. If you get a headshot, you'll get like an extra $90. And you use that money to actually build fortifications. And you build a base, like RTS style.
It's like a little tower defense built in.
Yeah, so you start off the match with everybody on your team, and you pick what spot. You basically put like a home base flag at what spot you want to defend. And then you say, okay, well, then let's start to hold this area. And then you build like barbed wire fences and laser fences and turrets and auto turrets and decoy traps and things like that. And basically, you just hold out, okay? Regular old Horde mode.
Okay.
Every 10th wave, there's a boss wave where they pit you against some of the hardest enemies in the game. So like berserkers, reapers, all sorts of really insane boss fights. So you get that thrill of the big boss fight with your buddies. And then you get to utilize all the base defenses that you guys have set up in order to try and beat this boss wave. So it's just crazy, crazy fun. Very, very, very difficult. Much harder than the first Horde mode.
Now, the base that you decide to defend, is it something that can be taken? Or do you really just decide, like, hey, this is where we're going to stay?
It can't be... Your base can't be taken, but your fortifications can be destroyed, and then you actually spend time to rebuild them between waves.
It kind of reminds me of Trenched a little bit, from way you describe
it. It's a little bit like Trenched, yeah. That's cool. And you can actually, when you get a whole bunch of cash, you could set up a sub-base in, like, the other end of the map. And then you can split your team if you want to and, like, try and hold two different points and maybe get them caught in a crossfire. So it's very, very strategic as opposed to just the clusterfuck that was the last Horde mode.
So the bases are just more like an organizing
spot. Yeah, you can't build defenses unless it only can basically spawn around your base.
Okay.
Okay, so you can't build a turret, like, in the middle of nowhere. It has to be close to your base.
Like, so. So you couldn't build it, like, on a spawn point or something.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Cheat the game. That's exactly. Cool. That sounds awesome.
It is a lot of fun. It's, it's crazy hard, but a lot of fun, so.
I remembered my question.
Yes.
Day one DLC.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Okay, so day one DLC. They put out season pass for this game. Mm-hmm. There's actually nothing that has been released for the season pass yet. So that there was a big misconception. Like, a lot of huff and puff
on our part.
Yeah,
that
what is the season pass for? Why is it coming out day one? You could buy it on day one, but there's nothing for it yet. So
has anything been announced for it
yet? They're going to do what they're calling a mini campaign for one of... There's going to be four. So the first one is going to be a mini campaign. And the mini campaign is actually story DLC. So a mini mission that does not have the main characters in it, they said. So Delta won't be in the mini mission. It's going to be four new people.
This might be your next game.
Who knows? Yeah.
Yep.
Also, the other DLCs are going to be downloadable characters and downloadable maps for multiplayer and things like that. There was DLC, however, on day one, and what they allow
that wasn't
you
part of free DLC.
No.
Oh.
So you can buy it, but it doesn't really do anything. So this is why it doesn't really bother me. They're literally weapon skins that you can choose to buy one at a time. So you can look through a massive list.
So it's not a pack. It's just like
you can buy them in a pack, but
so like if you always use the Retrolancer and you wanted to get a skin for the Retrolancer,
yeah,
it
costs
pay,
you like
you
a dollar,
a buck or something.
Yeah, it costs you a dollar. So it's like it is microtransaction gaming, no doubt about it. But you have to really be kind of like crazy to want to just buy all of them. Like, cause some of them are ridiculous. There's
they're basically banking on the fact that you'll go like, yeah, I'll spend a buck on something just
exactly.
to have it. Like, that's
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, exactly.
And you like don't, zebra you don't, paint on your Retrolancer or something. Is that what it is?
Exactly. Like, you can get like pink spray paint. You can get like one is like, some of them are animated. So there's one that makes it look like your Lancer's covered with electricity.
Sure, why not?
Yeah, so I mean, it's like $2 or $3.
Sounds cool.
So it was a lot of noise. I mean, like, because I was one of them. I mean, it was a lot of noise about this that ended up probably not being what it actually was.
Yeah, and you know,
so $30 for four releases means you're getting each one for about $8 or $9. So.
And some of them are story packs, some of them are maps. So it's like, you know, it's going to be a good hodgepodge of fun stuff.
Did you buy it?
I did. I bought the season pass, of course.
Yeah,
because I'm crazy.
Well, I mean, you're a fan. You should get what you can get.
But so yeah, all in all, Gears 3 is a blast. I'm really
awesome.
Really happy with it. So
awesome. I almost ended up, because I couldn't cancel my pre-order, I did almost end up picking it up on Tuesday.
Oh yeah.
And then I felt bad because I felt like I would have swindled Scott. Like I'm not picking it up, and then be like, totally got it, bro.
Whatever.
So I just waited.
Well, you guys will pick it up eventually, and then we will play it.
We'll get it at some point. I just plenty of other stuff to play right now. So
can we take an unofficial break?
Oh, Jesus, Scott.
Thanks.
Who's that girl? It's Jess.
I'm not going to say we're back because we never left. Right,
no,
Scott?
Right. That is correct. We did not leave.
So this week is the fall TV, the beginnings, the real true beginning of fall TV. Kicked off on Monday. And went through Friday.
That's exciting.
So anyways, we're going to do a quick run through. I'm just going to talk about some of the stuff I watched, and then we're going to actually do a real review of New Girl, the new show on Fox. Monday was kind of light. As far as brand new shows, all we had was Two Broke Girls. I actually have not gotten to see it yet. I watched about 5 minutes of it, and it was all right. It's very sitcom-y. It's on
CBS.
It's on CBS, so it's very like... kind of I don't know. I'm catching a theme with their shows. The only show that kind of breaks the mold, and it's only barely, is that show How I Met Your Mother. And I watched the season premiere of that. It was good. I've never been into the show before, but it was good, and I liked it. I just had no actual attachment to any of the characters, so I had like zero idea what was going on, because they were referencing seasons of material, and I was I don't know who that is. But it was cool. The other thing that aired on Monday that was new was the Playboy Club. Got really, really not great reviews.
Really?
And it seems pretty light on ye olde story and kind of heavy on, hey, don't you like Mad Men? So,
right.
So, you know, that was Monday. Tuesday was a much better day, I think, for fall releases. That was the day of New Girl. CBS had nothing but their usuals, you know, NCIS and all that kind of stuff. And then a show called Unforgettable that I didn't watch because it sounded like every other cop show ever on TV.
But she remembers everything, Matt.
I know.
She doesn't forget anything. She's got like that condition where you just remember things and then she uses it to solve crimes.
Oh my God. How did she do it? And then Fox had Glee hour-long premiere, New Girl and Raising Hope, all season premieres, New Girl being a complete show debut. And we're going to talk about that in a minute. I thought it was great, but we'll get into that a little more in depth. And then Wednesday was the day that I have been waiting for, Modern Family, 1 hour season premiere.
Ha.
I fucking love this show and it continues to get better. I don't know how else to put it. Ash, you watch Modern Family, right?
Yes.
Did you catch this year's premiere?
I did not.
It's actually two separate episodes. It wasn't one. I thought it was an hour of them at the Dude Ranch, but the Dude Ranch was a half an hour beginning, and then the next half hour was a different episode entirely about the gay couple adopting a new child.
Oh, no.
I'm completely blanking names right now. But awesome. If you're not watching Modern Family, I said it in the article, go watch it. Like, you don't really have to watch seasons 1 and 2 to know what's going on. It's not really that much of a show to show, but you'll have more attachment to it if you do. And they're both phenomenal seasons. What also premiered Wednesday night was, it didn't actually premiere, but continued, was a show called Up All Night and a show called Free Agents. Up All Night stars Will Arnett and Christina Applegate and Maya Rudolph. It's about Christina Applegate and Will Arnett having a baby, kind of surprisingly having a baby. And then how they're handling it. I watched the pilot. Scott, you watched the pilot?
Yep.
You said you liked it.
I really liked it. I thought it was funny.
I thought it was funny. Melissa loved it. She watched it with me and she really liked it. I thought it was funny. It just, the pilot suffered a little bit from like pilotiness to me.
See, that's what I thought about New Girl.
We'll have to get into this.
Interesting.
I just felt like the writing was like a... It just didn't feel cohesive yet. Like the writing, like they kept referring, like it was like baby, 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 baby. They just kept saying the word baby over and over in the show. And I was like, oh God. Maya Rudolph is fantastic in it though. Like I think she's the highlight of the show.
She is awesome. Speaking of which, I just saw Bridesmaids yesterday on the old streaming. And
yeah,
again, she is awesome, dude.
She is.
I've been on board with her ever since that movie she did with John
Krasinski.
Yeah.
Yeah, where they're pregnant.
Yeah.
They're having a baby.
What the hell is the name of that movie?
I don't remember. Away We Go, yeah.
Yeah, on board with her. So
she plays kind of an Oprah character. Like the show's premise is that Christina Applegate is a producer for a TV show. And it's Maya Rudolph's show, and she's like, she's Oprah, essentially. I think they actually reference Oprah in the show.
I think they do, yeah.
But it is. It's funny. It's probably worth watching. I have a really bad feeling because it's Will Arnett, and I've never seen him have a comedy that lasts more than two seasons. So I'm worried about it, but it's funny. I think it's written well. People should check it out. And then,
did you mention Free Agents as
I
well?
I watched Free Agents.
I did not, because you're like the Simpsons fans. So.
Yeah, okay, so it's starring Hank Azaria. Which is what got me there. But here's what sold it to me. This is actually the reason I watched it. It's from the creator of Party Down, which is an awesome show that was on Stars or Showtime. It's on Instant now.
Okay.
It's an awesome, awesome show starring Adam Scott and a few other people, ex-State members.
Yep.
It was really good. It was surprisingly good.
What's it about?
It's about Hank Azaria. They run like a PR firm, or he doesn't run it. He works at a PR firm, and it's about how he just got divorced. And then Catherine Hahn, who I know from a show called Traffic Light, she was in for a little bit, but she's been in a few other things. She's movies and stuff. Her husband just died. So her husband's dead. He's in the middle of a divorce, and it's kind of about like they start sleeping together essentially, but they don't want it. She doesn't want to date. So she's like, you're not ready to date, blah, blah, blah. And that's what the pilot's kind of all about, whether he's going to pull his life back together or not. Written really well. Like,
is it like a dramedy? Is that what
No. It's comedy.
Oh, okay.
It's centered around a dramatic moments, gotcha. I guess. But it's totally a comedy. It's about him. Like, it reminded me of Steve Carell just did a movie where he got divorced and they're trying to get him like back out there with Ryan Gosling. And
is that the one where he's laying sideways on the box art?
I think so.
Dan,
yes.
Dan in Real Life.
No. That's an old one.
What the hell is that movie called?
That Dan in Real Life is his, but it's a different one. But it was really good, and I actually recommend that too. I think Fox kind of nailed it with those two shows. Up All Night and Free Agents are both really good, and definitely worth watching. And then Modern Family, like I said, was the hit of the night for me. Thursday night, we had our favorite NBC comedies all coming back. So we got Community season premiere, we got The Office season premiere, we got Parks and Rec season premiere, and then we got the show debut of Whitney. I did not watch Community because for whatever unknown reason, it's not on Hulu, and I was not home Thursday night.
Web only for that still.
Yeah, so I've got to catch up on that one. The other show the other two shows that I had on my DVR list that I haven't gotten a chance to watch yet are Person of Interest, which is that new one with Michael Emerson from Lost.
Yes.
And Charlie's Angels.
That's streaming only. I mean, you have to go to CBS.com.
You have to go
to
CBS. Yeah, yeah. But I just haven't had a chance to watch them yet. Did you guys watch NBC shows yet or no?
I watched Community.
Did you like it?
Yes.
Okay.
It involves monkey gas.
Does it?
And it involves John Goodman.
Yeah, I heard John Goodman makes an appearance in episode one, right?
Pretty good. He's pretty good.
The Office was phenomenal with James Spader. If you had
never seen an episode of that show in my life.
Well, James Spader takes over for Michael
Scott.
Scott. Well, that's not how I meant to say that, because that's not what it actually is. But he takes over for the actor's name that I just said that I completely
Steve Carell.
Steve Carell. James Spader takes over for Steve Carell's spot, but only briefly.
Right.
And then ends up moving to like another position entirely, and then they move somebody else into the manager position. It's done really well and written really awesome. And James Spader, I thought, was going to be annoying, and he wasn't. Parks and Rec was phenomenal. It is a really great show if you haven't been watching that one.
I haven't watched that yet.
And then there's Whitney. Anybody else watch Whitney?
No, I didn't even put it on my list.
There's a laugh track.
Oh, good.
It says it's actually in front of a studio audience, but I think there's some added canned laughter there because it was painful to listen to.
Laugh, I mean, she's part of that whole crew of what's her face, right? I mean,
Sarah Silverman?
No, the girl that just makes a bunch of like in your face jokes about vaginas and stuff like
Sarah
that.
Sarah Silverman?
No. like Chelsea Handler.
Oh, Chelsea Handler.
Yeah.
She is part of that crew, I guess. Somewhat.
That's kind
of
what turned me off, because I knew what I was getting. I was like, whatever.
It's just written really poorly and just not very
really?
Good. Yeah. I mean, you know, maybe it'll pick up. I highly doubt it. I have a feeling this is my perfect couples for the year, where you're just like, really, like, this is what they're doing with the show. And I don't know, it didn't impress me. And then last night, Friday, we had a Fringe premiere, I believe, and then
thank God
Chuck moved to Friday. Didn't watch it yet, but probably watch it this weekend.
Those both premiered. And then this Sunday, we've got Family Guy. And then Monday is the big 2-hour premiere of Terra Nova.
For what it's worth, I don't remember making you watch The Craft. I think I think Adam liked that movie too.
All I know is I saw that movie a lot more than I ever would have seen it had it only been up to me.
I probably sure. would have watched that movie more if I found any of the witches attractive.
Yeah, they weren't at all.
Yeah.
That, by the way, out of all the previews I wrote, that was my favorite sentence that I wrote, where I said, "Are vampires starting to wane? CW hopes not, but if they are, witches." Yeah. It's like, literally, I didn't even realize they put vampires and witches back to back when they're
totally.
Airing the shows. I was like, brilliant. So I actually am probably gonna watch that, the first episode of that,
the witch show.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah,
like,
why
what
not?
The hell, I'm not gonna watch anything else on CW, so why not give the witches
what about
a try?
What happened in Nikita? You watched that last year.
Oh, I watched Nikita. That doesn't air again until I think it's 2 more weeks away. I think it's, for some reason, it's like a weird.
What about those? I thought there were two fairy tale shows, one on ABC and one on NBC.
Weekends.
Weekends, really?
I think one's airing this weekend, I think.
Interesting.
Grimm. Grimm Fairy Tales and something else. I think they're all...
It's Grimm and Once Upon a Time.
Once Upon a Time, yeah. I think they're both Saturday or Sunday shows, and I think they're airing this weekend or next.
I'm going to make a Frankenstein's pilot.
You should.
It's going to be called Steins.
So what we're actually talking about today is New Girl, the new show starring our buddy Zooey Deschanel.
Yes, our good friend.
We're good friends with her.
Yes.
And then three dudes whose names I don't know. I watched it. I actually remember being on the TV Death Watch episode saying this show's not going to last very long. I don't see it being very good. And then I watched it and I laughed out loud multiple times while watching the show. I actually thought it was really well written and really funny.
Well, I think we talked about originally, like, the sort of the first reviews that came out about the show were like, well, if you like Zooey Deschanel, you'll like the show. And if you don't like her, you're not going to like the show.
I could see that, but I don't feel like she's straight up being Zooey Deschanel. I mean, she's being like quirky, weird girl, but it's done in a way that I don't feel like it's I feel like you could put other actresses in that spot and it would still feel the same.
Oh,
if,
really?
If they were good actresses.
Because it's the guys that I'm worried about at this point.
I thought they were written well. I liked
great.
It.
I wasn't expecting much. And actually, Christina watched this before I did. And she's like, you really need to watch it. And I was like, all right, I'll watch it. Because I'm reluctant to start new television series. Just because I've started so many. And I'm so, you know, sick of getting burnt. And
you should feel burned.
Loving a show.
You should feel burned.
Yeah, loving a show and then having it get shut down. I'm just like, I don't want to set myself up for disappointment. So, reluctant to start new shows. But watch this. And like Matt, I laughed my ass off. Like, I don't really laugh very much at sitcoms. I just, for some reason, I don't. But
when she sang her theme song, like within 10 minutes of the show starting,
yeah,
and she like sings her own theme song while sitting on the couch in front of the guys and they're all just like kind of looking at her,
yeah,
I was like, oh, it's because usually like in a shitty sitcom what would happen there is she would sing it and then the guys would be like, oh, Zooey, you know, or whatever her name is on the show,
yeah,
and like instead they were just like, what was that?
Yeah,
she's
yeah.
like, I like to sing.
Yeah, I thought I really actually enjoyed the male roommates. I thought they were
douchebag
pretty
jar.
Well done. The douchebag jar was great. that guy, the actor that plays the douchebag, is he used to be on Veronica Mars as a cop.
Oh, really?
And I like that actor a lot. He's really funny. So I'm glad the show was really well done. I thought it was shot really well. It looked like a movie.
Yeah.
So they must have been shooting, you know, with some nice gear, and it looks great. I don't know where it's going to go. I would hate if she ever got in a relationship with any of those guys. That would break the show for me.
I concur.
Okay, I concur completely. I feel like they are hinting at that with the bartender.
Yeah.
And I'm really hoping they don't go that direction.
Yeah.
It's not necessary.
Would if they keep like a weird tension, like Moonlighting style, for like 25 seasons, sure.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
If it's ever like her and like the roommate boyfriend living with the other two roommates, fuck that, you know?
And I think that the show is going to only get its legs if it figures out what to do with the guys. I think that's where the longevity of the show is. I think Zooey Deschanel's character is where like the heart and the kind of comedy is going to come from. So, I don't know. So, what were your concerns? You said you had concerns here.
Well, I mean, I didn't really care for the guy characters, maybe with the exception of Damon Wayans Jr., who I thought was kind of funny.
Is that who that is?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
He's awesome.
Looks
coach?
Just like him. Yeah, coach.
Yes. He may not be in the show anymore. I'm looking at IMDb and I see something grim.
Has he already been removed?
Does he get killed off?
Coach is only listed under two episodes, whereas a new African-American male by the name of Winston is listed for 13 episodes.
Uh-oh.
All the other male leads are listed for 14 episodes.
All right, well.
Sorry, Coach.
Fears are confirmed. but, you know, like any pilot show, like there's always room to grow, and you kind of grow into your character.
Oh, but his name's Lamorne Morris. It's the guy from... Oh, shit. He's in stuff. Sorry. Continue.
Oh, I love stuff.
He's really good. I've seen him in a bunch of things. He's a comedian. Like, he does...
Okay.
Oh, man. What has he been in? Nothing that I see. Sorry, I totally cut you off.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
And then these promo pictures I'm looking at do not have Coach in them.
He's a funny guy, though. They are replacing him with a good actor.
Fair enough.
That's not... I mean, pilots...
Fairly.
Terrifying.
But anyway, I mean, like... I like the show enough to like, I want to stick with it, you know? And I, you know, the show that I stuck with last year through like what was arguably some pretty bad episodes was Outsourced. Yeah. And I felt like at the end of Outsourced, they had really figured it out and then it got canceled. And I think this show is starting off better than that. You know what I mean?
Oh, so, definitely.
Like much better. So I really do. I'm going to stick with it. Like I said, I'm not a fan of the guys now, but that doesn't mean that.
See, I think Up All Night is my Outsourced. It's like I watched it and I was like, okay, this show could be good. I just feel like it doesn't know what it's doing yet.
Agreed.
Awesome. Well, I, for one, am super excited about fall TV. I'm glad it's back. I know you're hesitant to pick up new shows, but I'm watching pretty much everything that I can at this point. And New Girl, I think, was a win. I think people should check it out.
I'm looking forward to Fringe.
I just hope Zoe Deschanel doesn't get too busy and can't do it anymore. The thing about the guys, though, I feel like they had awesome. All the guys had, like, there was the douchebag jar. Mm-hmm. There was the hoodie.
Yeah.
Where he kept, like, pulling the hood over
his. A weird guy, yeah. He was a weird, but, like, somewhat human guy.
And then Coach just, like, couldn't help from yelling at people and stuff. Like, I thought it was done really well. I thought it was written really well. So check it out. New Girl. It's on Wednesdays on Fox. Or Wednesdays? Right? Yeah, Wednesdays on Fox. And you can watch it after you're watching Modern Family, because that's on as well. Or before watching Modern Family.
Cool.
Which is, we're going to take just, like, 2 minutes and come back for a brief
open thread. That's what we do,
and that'll be that. We'll be right back. Back,
bam.
So the open thread this week, Ash came up with.
Sorry,
I'm gonna read your question verbatim.
All right.
How do TV ratings really work, and is the model totally broken? I mean, what the fuck? What I watch has never been counted. Can't they just stop being such jerk holes? Fart.
Yes. Expertly written. No, the reason I thought of this is we were talking about shows and shows getting canceled and shows being switched to the Friday night death slot and shows we love vanishing. And then we started talking about a la carte television, and which we talk about often. But, you know, it really dawned on me a little while ago that I know for a fact that the shows that I've watched over the course of my lifetime have never been counted in any sort of poll or any sort of rating system, because that's not really how Nielsen works. And I know they're not legally allowed to just check my DVR and add that to a list of shows that are being watched, because it violates my privacy. So where are they actually getting these fucking ratings from? if my vote and Scott's vote and Matt's vote don't actually count, how many millions and millions of votes actually aren't getting counted in these so-called ratings, in finger quotes? So you know a little bit more about this than I do, Matt. So go ahead.
I have an interesting point of view I can tell you about that. A friend of mine works for... Or, well, he's actually moving, but he works for a very prominent radio station for a very large company that is transparent, if you will. Okay. He works for Clear Channel. Huge radio station here in town, and he was talking about ratings, and they recently switched. They were doing straight-up Nielsen ratings, which basically means they choose a selection of people in every city, and that selection represents the entire city or that region. And every region gets a different weighting scale based on how big your city is. And so, like, New York's market is, you know, gigantic. LA's market is gigantic. Orlando's market's actually pretty decent size. We're not tiny, but we're not huge. Yeah. So our ratings create a different ad scale, which, you know, depends on how big the show is and how much money people pay to put advertisements on it. Well, the radio station had been following that kind of basic pattern. And basically what it did was you as a Nielsen person would track what you listened to at the end of your day or during your day. You literally wrote it down or filled in a form online and submitted it and said, I listened to, you know, 109.2 from noon till 3 and blah, blah, blah. And that's how it got tracked. And then they switched recently and they had this new, it's called real time tracking. And I don't think it's Nielsen. It's somebody else. It's a different method of tracking. And instead of there being 1,000 people, they actually took a selection again, and this time installed something. I think you had a device with you that knew what station you were listening to at any point in time, and they actually real-time tracked what you listened to. And what happened was ratings went crazy. Shows that used to dominate just tanked all of a sudden, because what really is happening is the moment a show hit commercial, people were changing stations. Sometimes they weren't making it back to the station they were listening to before. Sometimes they'd make it back, but they'd only catch 5 minutes of it and come. And it started showing that what people are writing is not actually what people are watching or listening to. And TV's doing some of that too. He said it was amazing because shows that we know of here, talk shows that literally dominated, immediately dropped to number three or number four in the city, and other shows were starting to raise above it because they didn't have as much switching back and forth during commercials and other things. So that being said, that's how it works, kind of, but we're seeing weird things now, because now DVRs exist, because now Hulu exists, because now Netflix exists, or not Netflix as much, but Hulu. The way ratings are getting done is shifting, because people are not watching in traditional manners as much anymore. So they're now having to count online. They're having to count DVR watching, which I think it's like the way Nielsen works is if you watch it within 7 days of the show airing,
like DVR plus seven,
it
or something,
still gets credit for being watched if you're a Nielsen family.
If you're a Nielsen family. See, would you guys be opposed to them something in your television or in your cable box telling, you know, the different producers and such what you were watching? Would you have a problem with that?
I'm not sure. I mean, I want my shows that I want the shows that I like to stay on the air. So, I mean, I guess it depends on, I'd really want to know what the information is that they're getting. You know, if it's just like, oh, at this time I was watching this show, like, yeah, I guess I'd be okay. But
what if they know that you're muting the volume when the commercials come on?
Well, I mean, that's, I mean, they would find that I would probably do that for all of the commercials. I mean,
well, but that's what I'm saying. Like, part of this issue, I think, is that somebody who is a Nielsen family and says they watch a show, they watch that show, Two and a Half Men gets insane ratings. It's like, you know, 14 million people watch it every night.
Yeah. Right.
And they're one of the highest rated shows on TV. So the ad revenue that they can charge is like through the roof. They can charge insane amounts of money for you to put an ad on that show. So what happens to that ad revenue if all of a sudden they find out that people watching Two and a Half Men mute the commercials?
And they do.
Or they fast forward through them on the DVR.
Yeah.
It hurts ad revenue, which hurts the revenue for the show. And the problem I'm leading to is that I have a feeling our crowd of people are more likely to skip commercials, mute commercials, get through them somehow. I just feel like the more real that tracking gets, the more all of a sudden these shows that we support by watching, we don't actually support because we're not watching any of the parts that are supporting that show.
I guess I feel like by that logic, there would be no shows on TV. But I mean, that being said, I mean, like with Hulu, I do just let the commercials run. I mean, you can't fast forward them, but I don't do anything because it's just one or two commercials.
So Hulu, the other thing I was going to say is Hulu is that model. They do know what I watch on Hulu. I mean, they are tracking that. They know that I come in and I watch these four shows, that I've commented about these three on Facebook, and that I liked these three ads that played while I was watching.
But they don't know that I get up and go to the kitchen, like when I put a show on and the first two commercials play and I get something to drink and come back, you know?
I'm not so ad averse, I think, like to me. Like Hulu has the ability to tell you whether you can tell it whether an ad's relevant or not while you're watching a show.
It's only on the web client though, right?
Yeah, right now.
They need to put that on the TV too.
I have a feeling it's going to integrate to the TV.
Yeah.
But so I know somebody who was like, well, I just say no to everything. And I'm like, well, that's not.
Yeah, what's the point of that?
Like, then you're just saying no to advertisement, but you're not saying no. They're still going to advertise.
They're just
going to
keep showing you different ads.
It's just going to be different ads. But anyways, I mean, I think your frustration is that like Nielsen isn't representing you.
No. It's always kind of bothered me. I mean, you know,
back can you volunteer to be a Nielsen family?
You can.
Have you?
In the past, I have.
You have?
Yeah. When I first moved to Tampa, I tried to, but, you know, at this point, I think the model is so broken that, like, I don't think the Nielsen family should exist. I don't think that, you know, one family should represent the masses. I mean, that's ridiculous. Like,
it's poor sampling.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. I don't think it's an accurate representation of like what people are actually watching at all.
And it's not, and like we've talked about before, it's not just TV anymore. Like I could watch a show on my phone like while I'm, you know, like.
So how do they get that, you know, 12.5 million number that watches Two and a Half Men? Where does that come from? Is it a sampling number that they've somehow put an equation on?
It has to be. I mean, it has to be.
Yeah, it has to be. I mean, because they're not, you know, they're not able to just read our DVRs and tell.
Well, they, I mean, honestly, they don't know what Scott and I are watching at all.
Yeah.
On live TV.
That's what I mean. It's like your vote is essentially uncounted.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It baffles me, but it's sad because like big shows, shows like Fringe that may have more people watching than their ratings really entail, you know, are struggling. Now they're on Friday night. They're going to last, you know, one more season and that's pretty much it. I mean, that's
sad.
Put shows to die. So I don't know. It just kind of bothered me.
Well, what I'm saying is, is the solution to you that they watch your DVR and you just everybody?
I would have no problem with that. Like, okay, I don't give a fuck if they see what I'm watching. Like, whatever. Like, okay, I watch, you know, a lot of History Channel and a lot of like, you know, crappy TV. Big deal. Like, you can watch me all you want. Like, it's, I don't think that my viewing habits are an invasion of my privacy. Like, pretty much, you know, the internet's already monitored anyway. So.
I mean, we've talked about this before, but it's sort of that premise of like, I don't have like 5 hours of TV that I'm trying to fill a void in my life every week with 5 hours of TV. It's like, if you keep taking the shows away from me, I'll just stop watching TV. I don't care. You know what I mean? Like, I'll be upset that there's nothing to watch on TV, but I'll just go read a book, you know? So,
right.
Like,
but I mean, you're not. Everything, all this stuff goes to the lowest common denominator, though. I mean, like, that's why Nielsen is what it is. That's why it's been done for decades, is that they don't care about you,
right,
necessarily. And you can tell them that you're not going to watch TV anymore, and they're going to go, great. Doesn't right. matter to us. We have, you know, millions of other people who literally every day they get home from work, they turn on the TV, and they don't turn it off till they go to bed.
Yeah, but I mean, that, like, that's just noise. They could be doing anything. In the house, you know, they could be cooking with the TV on.
Right.
Like,
but that's where at the end of the day, all the station cares about is like some kind of quantifiable number they can sell. That's all this is. I mean, literally at the end of the day, the reason Nielsen exists is because they need a number. They need to be able to quantify something so they can say to an advertiser, oh, look, we're going to put 12 million eyeballs in.
And it also existed because the technology to accurately track what people were watching didn't exist.
Right.
You know, 20 years ago.
I would agree.
And now it absolutely exists. They could probably do a hot fix on every single cable box so it tracked raw numbers of what you watched and sent it to a database in 5 minutes. They could do it, but they just choose not to because this model is probably a little bit more lucrative, you know?
Oh, definitely. And that's kind of like what I've always wondered, because I love the idea of a la carte television, and I buy shows. I buy, you know, It's Always Sunny is a show that I'm buying right now, and I watch on Amazon. And it's like, part of me is like, man, it'd be great if everybody did that. But then I'm like, would they actually make enough money? I mean, I feel like I'm only paying like $1.50 per or $2 per episode.
That's kind of the difference between like radio and NPR, though, isn't it?
I guess if 5 million people, if 2 million people bought a $2 or $3 episode, I mean, that's per episode. That's like $3-5 million.
Yeah, like I heard that, you know, NPR does like the fundraising drives all the time. And
yeah.
They brought up the point that like, to a normal radio station, the customer is the companies that they want to sell ads to.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we are the product.
Right.
But with NPR, we are the customer and the product is like, I guess, the show or whatever you're listening to.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like when you go and buy episodes of Sunny, you're kind of like casting your vote
mm-hmm.
for them, I think. I mean, am I right in that?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, no. Whereas, you know, like if you watch it on FX, it's like you're just.
I feel like I am. I just don't know if that number is large enough for that to be a voice yet.
Yeah, I mean, and that's going to be the thing. It's like, when we've talked about this before too, would you be willing to pay to keep the shows that you like on the air?
Right.
You know?
I mean, Firefly is a great example. Show got ripped off the air after what? 3 seasons? 2?
13 episodes.
Yep.
Oh, it was 13 episodes.
Yeah.
And they only aired like 8 of them, right?
Yeah. 3.
Yep.
Yeah.
So 13 episodes gets ripped off the air by Fox because the ratings are tanking, right? So now there's a huge groundswell for Firefly. Everybody wants that show back. What if everybody, you know, the joke went around where everybody's like, well, we'll just pay
Nathan Fillion,
you know, $300 million or whatever, and he'll buy the license and start the show again.
Right.
But what if that was a feasible model? I mean, do you think, like, I guess what I'm asking is, like, what you're arguing against is Nielsen, but what you're also arguing against is cable. I mean, like, that's just the way the old dog works, and it's just not going to change if they don't have to. because it is very lucrative.
And that's why it is, like you said, it's the old thing. You know what I mean?
They can take a small sample, they can quantify it, and they can say, this is what it's worth. And it's fake. I mean, it's all fake numbers, so they don't have to justify it beyond the quantification of what it is. So is it like, is it Nielsen? Is it, I don't know where the root of the problem is, I guess, and I don't know how to solve it.
I think the root of the problem is something called the internet. And since the advent of the internet and the advent of streaming and a la carte, you know, entertainment, the old model's broken and it just needs to be put out of its misery with a curb stomp. And then we need to start all over. That's what I think. No, I do think it's fucked up and broken. And, you know, I think we will see a major shift in how television's watched.
What if you could go to Nielsen.com and sign up and immediately have all of your internet and your TV tracked? You know?
Would I do it?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
What if I could just go cast a vote right now for something? What if I could just go like, hey, I like this show, I want to watch it. Like,
I mean, that's worked for Chuck and other things. Yeah. I mean, that's to be able to say like, Subway was an advertiser and everybody went to Subway and bought a sub for Chuck.
Mm-hmm. And in the comments box, I bought my sub for Chuck and it got him a whole new season.
Right. So I mean,
basically,
but do people care enough, I guess?
Yeah, see, that's the thing, is that now you're talking about like passion and whether or not people are comfortable using the internet to do things, you know what I mean?
But maybe that's what saves the shows that we like, because our crowd is comfortable with the internet. Our crowd is passionate generally about
Save
the things.
Save 2.5 Men.
Well,
yeah,
I mean, like,
I mean, honestly, anything could replace that show.
That's the difference. And I mean, like, CBS is the difference, because none of their stuff is streaming other than on their website. And that's because they know that their demographic is older and people watch TV. And like, our generation doesn't watch as much TV in that sense where we just sit on the couch,
right,
throw the TV on and just leave it on CBS all day.
Yeah.
That's the difference. So the consumption is changing for us. So they need to find a different way to track it. And I guess,
well, I think they have though, but I just don't think it matters.
And we need a different way to support it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think, cause I mean, Hulu's getting quantified as far as how many people are watching this show, but I don't think that I don't think Fox takes those numbers super seriously.
I mean, yeah, I don't
New
know.
Like, put it this way. I think New Girl could have 3 million people watch it on Hulu every week and have 1.5 million watch it on the network. And I think that 1.5 million will matter more to Fox and they'll cancel it.
Sure, because they can sell more ads during a television broadcast, of course.
So, I don't know.
Fuck the system.
There yeah, go, hack buddy. The planet.
Hack the planet.
Hack the planet. All right. So support your shows, I guess, at the end of the day.
Watch them.
Be vocal.
Watch them multiple times.
But go on Facebook. Say you're watching this show. That is a new thing that Hulu is doing now. If you start tracking a show, it puts it on your Facebook account, and then you can actually like comment halfway through a TV show. So the scene where she sings a song in New Girl, I could be like, this is really funny, and hit a comment there, and then it posts that chunk of the video up to Facebook and shares it immediately with everybody.
That's cool.
And then they could all see that very little chunk. So that's kind of cool. But
all right,
I think support your shows, you know, be passionate about them. Write your local congressman.
Buy a sub if you have to.
Yeah.
Buy a sub.
Do what you got to do.
Vote for the president. I don't know.
All right.
Well, that is episode 38 for today. Yeah. We'll be back next week with the last week of 52 and probably some more Gears talk, possibly. I don't know.
Yes. Hopefully sounds you guys good. Buy it.
Terra Nova. We'll probably do a review of Terra Nova.
Let's do that.
2-hour premiere on Monday night. And
dinosaurs.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Thanks, everybody.